today, our topic is moving forward on God's promises. And if we think about that, and I'm sure I've said it before, we have friends, relatives, loved ones. So many people make promises to us, don't they? But unfortunately, even the people we love sometimes let us down. They don't keep their promises. Whereas there is one person who is ironclad when he keeps his promises, that we can be absolutely sure if he says it, he will do it. And that's God. God is absolutely, fundamentally committed to his word. So if he says he will do it, if he makes a promise, he will follow through. And if we've been a Christian for any period of time, we've seen how God has answered our prayers and been faithful to his promises. Sometimes he's faithful immediately, we see the answer to that promise, and sometimes he fills it in time to come. And as I was thinking about this topic of God's promises, a variety of stories came to my mind throughout the Bible, stories of men and women who moved forward in their lives because they believed in God's promises. Abraham believed God's promise that his wife Sarah, who was old and barren, she was a grandma, would have a son. God promised that, and she did. God made all sorts of remarkable promises to Abraham, promises that he'd have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. If you've ever stood out under the stars in the country, that's a lot of stars. But we know God also came through on that promise. We know God made other promises to Abraham, like he would have descendants who would gain the promised land some 400 or 500 years after that promise was made, and that perhaps even more importantly than all those promises, that through him all nations on earth would be blessed, and that was fulfilled in Jesus. See, God came through on all those promises. He came through on all of them. And even though Abraham might not have seen all those promises in his life, we know that God came through. You see, by faith, Abraham believed in God's promises, so he was able to move forward in his life. He was able to move forward in his life. And similarly, we've been in the book of Joshua, and Joshua is another wonderful example. Though he was afraid, we read in Genesis 1, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, don't be afraid, essentially. He trusted God and believed his promises, so became strong and courageous, and as a result, conquered the promised land with God's people. He moved forward on God's promises, and so God exalted him, raised him up to become a great leader, as great as Moses. In fact, in today's story, we read that. We read, that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses. So like these great people of faith, how can we move food? Well, we'll demand some food right now, but we'll hold on. Cafe will be delicious today. Let me say that again. Like these great people of faith, how can we move forward on God's promises to reach the promised land, our promised land, eternity, and the great hope that we have? How do we move forward toward the great promised land? Well, like Abraham, Joshua, and the Israelites, we can move forward on God's promises. We can move forward in our lives by remembering God's miracle. Remembering God's miracle. Now, the Israelites moved forward as a people after God miraculously parted the Jordan River so they could enter the promised land. Now, you read in the text, in the story of Joshua 4, that in fact, chapter 3 as well, that the Jordan was in flood stage. It was during harvest. Now, if you've ever been by a river in flood stage, or you've seen it on TV, it's ravenous and dangerous, and you stay clear. I remember I was in New Zealand some years ago, and we were hiking through the Pelorus Valley and Mount Richmond, and we arrived at this pristine, you know, mountain lake or river, and it was gorgeous. In fact, we bathed in it. We were with a bunch of multicultural guys, and there was one Finnish guy that said, it does not get much colder than this, and he's like, oh, it's so good, you know. It was just beautiful. And then overnight it rained. I mean, it really rained. It was New Zealand rain. And when we woke up in the morning, it was no longer a pristine, lovely little river. It was a raging beast of a river, lake, whatever you want to call it. Now, I think that's something like what it was for these people, for the Israelites, hundreds of thousands of people, this raging river. And God steps in and literally parts the Jordan, so much so that they walked through it on dry ground. Now think about that for a moment. Dry ground. God did a mighty miracle for the people of God. Now during the crossing, they took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, one for each tribe, and they placed them down at their camp in the promised land as a memorial to remind them of the great miracle God had done for them, bringing them into the promised land, doing such a great miracle. And in obedience to the Lord's command, Joshua said this to the Israelites. In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. Now, it goes on to say, these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Now, what would help the people move forward in the promised land? Remembering God's great miracle. What would help them move forward? Remembering God's remarkable miracle, just like he parted the Red Sea too. And that is exactly what can help us to move forward as well. Remembering the miracles God has performed in our lives. In particular, remembering the greatest miracle of all, that Jesus died for our sins, that we might be forgiven and saved and have incredible hope. That is a great miracle. It's the miracle that Jesus tells us to remember because our faith and hope stand on it. As Paul says, the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Or another translation says, that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which Luke says is poured out for you. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Until he comes. Friends, we remember this miracle of Jesus' death for our sins every time we celebrate communion, don't we? We remember it and we're thankful. But really, we should remember this miracle every day. There's a famous author, Jerry Bridges, who's written some wonderful books. One of them is The Pursuit of Holiness. And he talks about how he preaches the gospel to himself for 15 minutes at the beginning every day. And I think that's incredibly powerful because it sets the foundation for our day right. In fact, if we remind ourselves of what Jesus has done for us through his death at the start of each day, we will move forward in the daily knowledge that we are forgiven, that I'm not guilty. So you start the day, whatever guilt you've got going on, you remember, I am not guilty. And you continue in the day remembering that you're right with God. You walk through the day knowing you're a friend of God, that God is with you. You walk through the day having remembered the cross, that you're commissioned to be his ambassador, not an ambassador to the president, but an ambassador to the Lord, to share the good news through your life and your words. You also will remember that you're heading toward a certain future in eternity, toward our promised land. You see, when we remember our foundation, the cross, daily, it sets our foundation right because we walk with the Lord in peace and assurance. We are forgiven, we are right, and we have a mission, and somewhere we're heading for eternity. Now that, if we do daily, will help us to move forward in our daily lives. See, remembering this miracle can help us not only move forward, but it helps us move forward by focusing on who we are and what our ultimate goal is. Now, this in mind, the next step we must take to move forward in our lives is to reveal God's power. To reveal God's power. This is our second point, revealing God's power. We see the great miracle that God performed for the Israelites was not just for them. Who else was it for? For everyone else as well. You see, that all people might know that God is powerful and he alone is the true God. As Joshua said, he, that's God, did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. And that was unquestionable. In fact, so much so that the kings nearby in the promised land, in chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 you read, were so freaking out that they felt they had no capacity to deal with this anymore. They just gave up, essentially. You see, God's hand was shown in power, that he is the only true God. Now, just as the miracle of parting the sea revealed God's power to all the people, so too the miracles God performs for us are meant to reveal God's power to everyone as well. They're not just for us, as much as they're wonderful for us. You see, especially the miracle of Christ's death and resurrection. God's miracles are not for us alone. Their purpose is that all people might know that our God is one, the one true God, and that you can put your trust in him. The miracles are to point toward God, point all people toward God. And some of us have come to Christ because we have heard, and well, I suppose all of us have come to Christ because we have heard the greatest miracle of all, that Christ died for us and rose again, that we might be forgiven and made right with God. That is the greatest miracle of all. Now, that is one clear reason why the Apostle Paul says this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Now, our responsibility is to share this gospel with others. Why? Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone. Our responsibility is to reveal God's power by sharing that Christ died and he rose again. That's pretty powerful, that Christ died and he rose again. People normally stay dead, but not our Lord. He conquered sin and death for us, and that is powerful and transformative. So what an opportunity we have this Easter. It's just around the corner. It'll be here in a moment. I can't believe it's almost March, can you? Well, Easter will be here in a moment. And we have an incredible opportunity to reveal the wonder and hope and power of the gospel this Easter. And you can get away with it more easily, because that's what Easter's all about. It's not just about the Easter bunny. And maybe one little way you might do it is when you're talking about the lovely Easter eggs you ate and how you're feeling sick from them. You can talk about the fact that just like an Easter egg is hollow and you crack it open and there's nothing inside, so too the tomb was empty at Easter because Jesus rose. There's so many ways you can talk to people about the gospel at Easter. It is the power of God for their salvation. So whether it's co-workers you can think of, family members, neighbors, people at the shops, let's take that opportunity this Easter, because it is only the power of the gospel that can save them. Now, by revealing God's power, we will move forward in our Christian lives by reaching out to others, by reaching out to others. Finally, if you and I wish to move forward in our lives, we must revere God's name. This is our third point, revering God's name. Now, we know for certain that the other key reason that God performed the miracle of the Jordan was to cause God's people to revere his name. We read this: "He, God, did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." Now, this fear of the Lord is not being petrified of God, okay? I'll give you an illustration of this. When I was in my teenage years living in Hong Kong, my friends and I had a sleepover at a mate's place, and they decided it would be really fun to watch The Exorcist. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It was banned in England. I'm not really into those sort of films, you know. I'd rather watch Pixar or something. Anyway, I said to my other mate who was there, I said, "Man, I don't want to watch this. Let's go." So we went down to 7-Eleven and had a Slurpee or whatever. And when we came back, they'd finished the film. I didn't mention this in the first service, but I mentioned to you now, there's a tangible sense of fear in the air. The guys who watched the film were freaking out. So much so that one of my mates, who's Irish, tough kind of guy, decided he would hug me while he was shaking out of fear, which was awkward, let me say. Anyway, avoid The Exorcist, people. But this is my point. They were petrified, weren't they? The fear of the Lord we're talking about here is not being petrified like my Irish friend. The fear of the Lord is to revere him. It's recognizing who he is, what he can do, how mighty he is, and rightly so responding with reverence and honor and submitting to him in faith. That's what it is. It's to revere and to submit to God in faith out of recognizing who he is. It's recognizing, a bit like when you're a plane. You ever been on a plane and you see the people on the ground while you're taking off? Sometimes I pretend to squish them through the window. I probably shouldn't tell you that. But it's recognizing our place, that God is really, really big. And we're really, really small comparatively. Yet, of course, he loves us. It's revering him for who he really is. And so, perhaps a good way of explaining it is that a healthy fear of God means putting him first in my life. Means putting him first in my life. Honoring, revering, submitting to him means putting him first in our lives. Now, we could all fear God more, couldn't we? We could all honor him more in our lives. We could all submit to him more in our lives. So Proverbs encourages us in this. It says to fear the Lord. It says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You see, by revering and submitting to God, we come to know God. By revering him and submitting to him, we come to know God. And knowing God helps us to become wise, because we start seeing things in God's world from God's perspective. Let me say that again. Knowing God helps us to become wise because we start seeing things in God's world from God's perspective. And since God created and rules our world, when we see the world through his eyes, it helps us to become wise in making wise decisions. Let me say that last bit again. Since God created and rules our world, when we see the world through his eyes, it helps us to make wise decisions and choices, because we're in line with what God wants. And we make wise decisions in line with what God wants. Tell you what, our lives are a lot easier because we're following God's will rather than making all sorts of silly decisions that get us into trouble. And that, my friends, will most certainly help us to move forward in our lives. So friends, today, if we want to move forward like Joshua and the Israelites, then we need to remember God's miracle of the cross for us. We need to reveal God's power by sharing the good news to others, and we need to revere God's name in our lives. If you do this, you will hold on to God's promises and move forward in your life. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? We just need to ask God to help us to do this. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, thank you so much that you are a remarkably good God. And Father, as we pray, I reflect on John, that tells us Jesus did all sorts of miracles in the presence of his followers that weren't written in the Bible, but they were written so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we might have life in his name. Lord, help us to take the first step of trusting in you, in trusting in your promises, relying on you, not relying on ourselves anymore. And as we do that, help us to step out remembering the great miracle that you've done in our lives through Christ, remembering the other miracles that you've done in our lives. Help us to reveal your name to others through the power of the gospel. And help us to revere your name, submit and honor you, putting you first in our lives. And through all this, we pray that we would move forward in 2017, filled with hope, reassured daily that we're forgiven and right with you, and empowered forward to our mission, our real mission, to reach the nations for Christ and heading to our eternal heavenly home of hope. We ask you to help us in this, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.